Ladies and gentlemen, it's a Mangry Nation podcast at night. It's a late night edition. It means we can curse. It doesn't mean that. Ladies and gentlemen, Aldo had to be a parent this morning, so we didn't get to do our live show, which is fine. I'm only like 90% mad at him. It's fine. Like, who told you could have kids on the job, man?
Multiple, plural kids.
No, it's so we're doing this a little bit later. So if you're like, where's that podcast, man? Usually I'm listening to that while the Cowboys are losing. Well, that's what happened. Ladies and gentlemen, hope you had a great day. I know I did, because it's always a great day after a Mean Green win. 58-16, big time win, took care of business, nobody got hurt. Mason Fine, you know, set a little record, you know what I mean? So everything looks good, you got something to tweet out, right? The staff, like, back-to-back 400-yard games, Mason Fine, hashtag, everything's fine. You know, everybody's feeling good, they all got what they wanted, except maybe the vendors and the attendance folks, because they don't get to say, oh man, we had 20,000 people again, it was like 18,000, and I don't even know if 18,000 people were there. Is that about right?
Heard a lot of students there, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was just a rainy day, bad timing.
Yeah, the weather was just not great. It didn't feel good walking from the car to the stadium. So I mean, I understand, but it was just a far cry from what last was.
But I mean, again, all that is important is a win. But let's temper expectations a little bit, right? Because I saw some posts on GoMeanGreen.com, and I don't know how serious they were, but I've seen a lot of people talking about this. This kind of thinking, like, yeah, man, this conference ain't good enough for us. You know, we're too good. Everybody sucks. And it's true. Conference USA had a terrible, terrible day. And you can learn. I'm going to plug from my other site, because this podcast is brought to you by ConferenceUSAReport.com. And you can go listen to that. And I had a podcast earlier today, in lieu of talking with Aldo, I got a professional one. I talked with Ed Miller of the Virginian Pilot. He's a cool dude. We've talked with him before, and you know, we talked about Conference USA. So I won't belabor all of that. You can go there and listen to it. You hear me talk for about an hour about all the terribleness that was in Conference USA. But I think it's a little bit premature. And see if you agree with me here. To start discussing that when we haven't played anybody. We beat two bad teams, and that indicates that we're a good team because we beat two bad teams. Good teams are supposed to be bad teams. I said the same analogy. It's like if LeBron James played me in basketball, right? He should destroy me easily without breaking a sweat, right? You would expect that. If he struggled a little bit, you'd be like, oh, maybe he ain't so good. But you know he's good because he can beat me so easily. You know, North Texas is better than SMU because SMU sucks. We saw that in two games already, they suck. Incarnate Word, their SES squad, they're getting started, there's some bright spots. Yes, Raekwon Dickens is fast, 3 touchdowns over 50 yards or over 40 yards in his 2 games. Okay, but
he's fast.
Yeah, he's one of the guys that Eric Moore said, you know, could play on an FBS team, him and Baptiste, number 21, and Lamont Johnson also. But like I said, we beat up two bad teams, and we looked mostly good doing it. There's some things to work on, and all that's fine. But I don't know if we should be crowning ourselves anything because we haven't. You know who's number one in conference right now? Florida International, because they played a conference game. We played zero conference games. We played zero FBS winning teams. You know, and even if we get a win this week, guess what? We will still have yet to play any FBS winning teams, right? Because Arkansas lost to Colorado State. So, just give me your 2-minute impressions of everything you saw yesterday.
Well, The game started out kind of weird. The offense did. It took probably the whole first half for them to get out all the kinks. And then the second half is really where they got a lot more energy. They started out flat. On defense, though, defense was up-tempo or high energy throughout the entire game. So I'm really enjoying what they're doing there, what Troy Reffitt's been doing. You know, a lot of people had questions about him because and they were, you know, legitimate. The pass game had been, or the pass defense had been, you know, giving up a lot of yards, and there are a lot of factors involved there. But you know, I feel really good about the defense for the first time in several years. So I'm good there. The offense, you know, against these two bad teams, still could have been better in some aspects of the game. And the biggest part was the run game. I don't know if you agree, but I think the North Texas run game should have been a lot better than it was against an FCS team. And that's who I am.
Yeah, you're not lying there. And I mean, let's ask the crowd. Do you guys agree with them? They agree. They agree with you. Yeah. The thing is, we can't run the ball. They can't run the ball well, and that is kind of to be expected. Early in the season, everybody's trying to work some things out. Okay, but they didn't look great in a lot of aspects running the ball, and I think that held them back from scoring more in this last game and scoring more in the first half against SMU. And that's something that they've talked about. You know, Seth Littrell talked about it in every presser that he's had so far. So things to work on, yes. And I agree, the offense started slowly. First half against SMU, they started slowly. Remember, they only scored the one touchdown, right? And Seth Littrell's talking about that. It wasn't until the second half that they kicked into gear. And you can look at Mason Fine's his stat sheet, right, that he has like 5 touchdowns when we're ahead by 14 points already. Because they went down, scored a touchdown, they got a pick six against SMU, and then, you know, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Same kind of thing here. And that's fine. I have no problem with it. It's not like he's picking on terrible teams. But it's just an indicator that the offense, as great as it's been, has been that great. It has room for improvement. Averaging 6.14 yards per play, which is 56th in the nation. You know, I think like Western Kentucky, I mean, I always call them Western Kentucky, West Virginia, and some of those other teams are like at, 9 yards per play, something ridiculous like that. They're just explosive.
And I've got a reason for that.
Well, what's your reason?
Well, if you were watching, so there were two differences between the SMU game and this game. SMU game, they were getting Mason Fine in rhythm by spreading out the defense. They were passing behind the line of scrimmage, doing some screens, and letting receivers do their work. But really, what they were doing were two things. They were spreading out the defense because it started opening up the middle of the field later on in the game. And two, getting Mason Fine in rhythm. You know, just he had, 8 or 9 completions in a row to start the game. Mm-hmm. This game, I don't know if they just had a different script to start the game or Fine wasn't going to those receivers that were, you know, at the line of scrimmage or within 5 yards. He was just trying to throw bombs most of the time. And he was scrambling around when he didn't need to be scrambling around, just waiting for something to open up downfield. And I think that's where the low yards per play numbers coming from the short passes to start the game against this SMU, and then the tons of incompletions trying to go for big plays in the second game.
Well, two things before I respond to that. One is that we are averaging the same yards per play as we were last year, 6.14, same thing. We are at 568 yards per game, which is 14th in the nation. And that's up from last year at 455. So we're doing better overall. And a lot of that's a pass game because Mason Fine's leading the nation in passing yardage per game, passing yardage. And I agree. I think, again, one problem. I don't know. We talked about this before. One problem when you play a team or somebody that's not that good is that it throws you off. It's the weirdest thing. But like if you've ever played basketball or whatever you're good at, right? You ever played someone against it that's significantly lower level than you, it throws you off and it has the potential to really just mess up all your rhythm. Just everything, like you get the ball on the wing and you expect them to guard you a certain way and you're always used to attacking them a certain way. But if they're standing in a completely weird position or just leaving you wide open, it throws your rhythm off. You're like, I'm too wide open. I guess I should shoot this wide open three-pointer even though I'm ready to attack the basket because, you know, all my basketball playing abilities have told me this. So translate that into Incarnate Word, which had, they were blowing assignments all over the field. And so you design a play, you call a play, like, hey, let's run this corner route right here. We're going to get Jalen Guyton open on a corner route here. All right, ready? Remember my progressions. He's my number one. My outlet's over here to the flat. And then, you know, if it's open, I'll hit, Mike Lawrence across the middle. Okay, ready? Let's break. And you snap the ball, and like Mike Lawrence is just completely wide open. You're just like, are they baiting me right now? Like, what is happening? Like, oh, I should, I you know what I mean? Like, so you're hesitating because it's not progressing the way it quote unquote should. You're just like, wow, that just so wide open. I think they did a better job in the second half of just saying, you know what, let's just throw it deep. Let's just keep it simple. Because I think they were trying to, overthinking it a little bit. And I think that kind of is the case. But I do like them opening up slow. Let's hit some of the shorter little stick route here. I think I saw that West Virginia, because I saw like Chris Brown at smartfootball.com was tweeting about it, that they were saying they opened it up a little stick route for him, Will Greer, to kind of get him in rhythm, Holgorsen. North Texas did the same thing. We opened up with a bunch route, a little stick route. Second half was a bunch route, a little snag route. Something easy that you can read, get him, start, like you said, get him in rhythm, bring the defense up, throw it over the top. That's the same thing as like handing the ball off. Those are long handoffs, right? 3-yard gains, 4-yard gains. I don't mind that at all. I actually prefer that instead of saying, all right, let's go out here cold. Let's throw it deep, Monday Night Football. Dun, 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 dun. Chunk it up. We don't need that right away. I mean, that's fun, but let's move the ball. You know what I mean? And do what we're good at. So I don't mind it. I'm not concerned about the offense. It's good. It should be great if everybody's getting in rhythm. I feel confident about everything.
I'm confident with the pass game. If the run game stalls out with a team like Arkansas, then you're going to be losing out on passing opportunities if the run game can't eat up a couple of yards or more than just a couple of yards. They were trying the outside the past 2 weeks. They've been trying the outside zone. Guys, when you hear, on the TV, they're setting the edge. They weren't setting the edge. And the ends or the linebackers or the safeties were penetrating around the edge, and guys were getting tackled up the middle. It was a little bit better, but still just there was no daylight. It's not about the running backs here. It's about them not having any daylight to run through. I don't think Jeffrey Wilson could have made much more headway. Maybe for a couple of carries, he could have blown for 30 yards instead of a 10-yard run. But outside of that, there wasn't a lot of room to run.
I think that is the case, and I think we're also forgetting how often. I've been saying this a bunch of times, on this show. Hey, I think that Jeff Wilson was special, and he would turn 5-yard losses into 8-yard gains. They show up as 8-yard gains, right? And you're like, well, he ran for 8 yards. That's good. But that should have been a 5-yard loss. And what we're seeing now is some of those 5-yard losses turn into 3-yard losses, maybe none-yard gain at the best. There's an adjustment getting used to a guy. Jeff Wilson was getting carries for 3 years, right, behind a good number of these guys. All that rhythm was set up, and now it's new guys. And they've been getting a lot of carries and they've been getting a lot of reps, but it's not the same, and I think you can kind of see that. We're mixing in the backs in there too, right? It was Nick Smith last week, and then this time we're like, all right, let's get Torrey out there. Evan Johnson's not getting a whole lot of carries. They're trying to figure out the run game. And here's the good news, is that the only team that can run the ball right now is Rice. That's it. And Rice, that's all they can do. They can only run.
Yeah, and that's what their offense is based on, is running the ball.
Yeah, and so, I'm not too worried about it. We're not going to move the ball, pounding the ball. Like, if we have to, we can throw it 50 times. So that's the good news. And we can throw it 50 times and move the ball. And we have, obviously. You'd like to see the run game do good well on short yardage, improvement in that aspect, right? 3 1-yard touchdowns, that's good. I think they got a fourth down conversion there, so all those are good for me. I'm like, that's mostly what we need from this run game, and probably one or two gashing runs, kind of the way that Raekwon Dickens is doing to us, right? Where they're like lining up, getting ready to throw it, and then like they hand it off to a dude, and you're like, oh crap. He just sprang for 90 yards because we were concerned about the receivers. He just broke a tackle and, turned on the speed. That's going to be DeAndre Torrey, right? That's what we're thinking?
That's what we're hoping, yeah. Yeah, and that's what he looked like, in his film from Missouri. I keep forgetting.
Mississippi?
Mississippi.
It's about, 200, 300 miles away, but yeah.
Yeah, that's who we thought he was, and he showed that he could do that. Last week with the kickoff return, and he had some good runs this past week.
I mean, what I like, I mean, I like Nick Smith, and he's shifty and stuff, but I like that Torrey is like one cut explosion. He had a 17-yard pass. I think we got to him on a screen game. I also like that Anthony Weish looked like the guy that we thought he was going to be a couple seasons ago. Like, we thought DeAndre Torrey, what he is, you know, showing he's going to be, and what he has shown in the return game, and a little bit in the run game, we thought that's what Anthony Weish was going to be a couple seasons ago, because he was doing the same thing. We're like, this guy's going to be a return guy. So you can see already the type of running back these guys are looking to scout and to get on his team. Speedsters, one cut, cut up the field, turn it on, you know. I like it. That's what you want. I mean, I was wishing that we could maybe do a trade, you know, give a draft pick to Incarnate Word. We can take Raekwon Dickens out here. And I was like, oh, wait, it doesn't work that way. We can't do that. But, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, you can't really predict who's going to be leading the backfield, I think, from here on out. Because Nick Smith had lots of opportunities. You know, they put him out in wheel routes frequently. Mm-hmm. I think I saw him at least in three. And every time he went out, he was open. But yeah. So was, you know, five other guys downfield.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like when five guys come open, you kind of hesitate. You're like, who's the most open? And I think that's, again, that's where you're just like, hey, look, just throw the ball. Just get the ball to one of those open guys.
And so I think we might see some more Nick Smith in the pass game next week against Arkansas.
All right. So do we have anything else to talk about? To me, everybody played well, got a couple picks. We took care of business. There's very little that's interesting to me about this game.
Yeah, I mean, other than, like, stat watch, like, everybody was scoring touchdowns, multiple touchdowns.
Yeah. I do like Eric Morris, and let's spend 2 minutes maybe speculating here. I don't know if the timeline lines up, but I think some people are excited about him. He sounds like a cool dude. He sounds super young. I sat with him, and he, you know, gave me 20, 30 minutes of his time, and it was a good conversation with him. I interviewed him after his Thursday practice. He sounds like he has a good head on his shoulders. He sounds like he's leading that program in the right direction. And I expect him to score because they look explosive. I might even, because I think the timeline works, I might even go check out one of their games over here against SFA just down the street. They look, I don't know if the timeline works out for him to impress a Ren Baker enough for, and, you know, like Seth Luttrell saying, well, I've done all I can in Denton, and now we'll move on to go take over at Texas Tech. Or something like that. And then we're like, well, hey, who's Eric Morris, kid down the way. He seems like a good guy. He led that program. I don't know if that would work out. But I know there were whispers about him in the past, and he's maybe one to watch, that kind of thing. I mean, obviously, I'd like Seth Luttrell to stay for 20 years and win, you know, college football national championship here and whatever. But that's it. That's what I have from
speculation. I was having the same thoughts on the drive home from the game. You know, he could at the very least make a good offensive coordinator, but if you look at his career, he was offensive coordinator at Tech.
Yeah, 5 years.
So I think his next step would be a head coach somewhere in FBS.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I think sounds like he's going to do a good job there at Incarnate Word. We'll see. I don't know.
They're fast guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to see how he recruits, right? That's the one thing. Let's move on. This is not an Incarnate Word podcast. Arkansas. I was looking forward to giving them their first L, but another green team, Colorado State, went ahead and got a win on them. So that disturbs my soul a little bit. But opportunity is still there. I think the line is something like 8 points, right? 7.5, 8 points.
Yeah, 7.5.
And I'm not really a gambling kind of dude, but I like looking at the lines. I will say that's the best in my recollection. I'm 10, 11 years I've been following this dang team, you know, closely. And I know some of you others have been following it forever, like 60 years or something like that. I don't remember a line in recent memory against an SEC school that was under 20.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. When I saw that line, I was like, wow, that
did gives, you call up your uncle in Vegas? Is that what you did?
Yeah. Start texting people. Hey, no, I mean, that shows that we've got an opportunity to at least get close to an upset. Obviously, the Colorado State game changed some opinions. We're facing Chad Morris again. So Chad Morris has had North Texas's number for a while.
3 years in a row, he's beat us.
3 years in a row. Hopefully we don't make it four. I'm a realist. You know, I just want to see what we can do there. Hopefully everybody gets healthy out of there. But, you know, in the past, I would have been like, oh, yeah, let's just go in and get our paycheck and leave. This year, it's more like, man, you know, we could.
It's Arkansas week. So not only am I going to cook up some pork ribs, eat some bacon, maybe some pork chops, all those pig ribs. I've been thinking about doing a series like that just for nice and fun to do, post a recipe every week, nice hog recipes. But it's Arkansas week, so we can actually talk about it. People have been whispering about this for, I don't know, since it was on the schedule. Like, oh, that Arkansas boy, we're going to go out there and win. Yeah, we can beat them. This is the time to beat them. It reminds me of 2014. We had Texas there. We had a shot, and we played what if. That game just frustrates me to no end, because we had a quarterback that was worth a dang in that game to play well in that game. We could have beat Texas, I think. And now we have that, right? We have an explosive offense, and Chad Morris and Arkansas are still figuring things out. They may be more talented 1-85, but we have our, you know, 22, our starting 22 playing better than their starting 22 right now. They're going to be at home, right? But if they come out a little weak and not impressive enough, that, I don't know, what is it, 40, 50, 60,000 people, they're not going to be super excited about it. They're not going to give them a home field advantage. They're going to be mumbling and grumbling and like, what the hell? Yo, come on, you know. I don't know what they yell in Arkansas, but they're going to be doing that.
Woo pig.
Yeah, I think they just yell woo pig real sadly, like, woo pig. Woo pig.
This little piggy went home.
Did you ask them to score? Did it win? This little piggy got to win. That's what they do. I have a friend in Arkansas. He's a pharmacist, and this is all firsthand. Right? He has to speak that way. This little piggy wants Tylenol, and he gives him. yeah, so I mean, it's funny. They're gonna be talking mess. It's fun. The last time we went to an SEC school, it was bad. It was Florida, right? It was the last one we went to.
Yeah, Florida.
Yeah, and that was ungood. This is a much better team. This North Texas team. It's South Latrell's best team. Mason Fine is a junior quarterback. He's playing well. They have motivation. They have things on film that they can improve on. So there's not. It's not like the first game of the season, right? Where you're like, oh, they're kind of shaky and working through some things. We've had two games at home to work through a lot of things, and I'm hopeful. And I'm even, dare I say, I'm expecting some good things out there.
They should make it a good game. You know, whatever the outcome is, it should be a fun game to watch. It won't be it shouldn't be a drubbing, and I'm not going in expecting a drubbing. You know, as long as we go in with energy, the offense at least, I think the defense will take care of business. And you know, if the run game can see some daylight, then we should be in business. If not, then it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, I mean, I expect there's going to be some gashing runs because they have talent out there. And if we got smoked out by Raekwon Dickens, I think we're going to lose in some foot races against some of their faster dudes. But that's fine. I don't expect to score 58 or even 46 or even hold them to 0 points or three quarters. You know, a nice, this is how badly I've been beat. I'm like a beat dog, right? You know, like did somebody just pet me on the head and I just feel like you're the greatest owner ever. I'll love you forever. But that's what's happening right now. Like if we go out there and we don't get beat badly by Arkansas, I'm going to feel really, really great. And, yeah, if we lose by 10, I will feel ecstatic. If we do like the 2013 team when that was 21-21 with Georgia there, we lost by 21 in that game, right? But we felt good. You felt good. It was almost a win. People were high-fiving me in Austin, Texas, is where I was watching the game. Like,
we pretty much called it a win.
Yeah. Hey, that North Texas, they're pretty good out there. Like, oh, yeah, well, thanks. Thanks for noticing. That was me out there. I sure do appreciate you. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not a big fan of moral victories.
Oh, I'm a fan when it suits me, but yes. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
We're saying, man, there were, you know, flashes of this or bright spots in that. Yeah. And when the sportcasters are saying those things, it's because you're losing a lot. But every once in a while, you do a big, you know, you have a big play, but you're still losing by 30 points. Hopefully that will be the case. Yeah, I can see that. I'm not really sure what the over-under is right now, but it might be 55 or so. So we should be able to put up some points against Arkansas. It shouldn't be a, you know, they punt it again or they punt it again.
You know, we have game changers. And, you know, when we had Breland Chancellor out here or we had Lance Dunbar, you know, those are game changers, right? Those are guys that are faster than, say, eight of their dudes, right? Maybe not two or three or, you know, whatever. They can score points for you. We got a Jalen Guyton. Jalen Guyton can score from anywhere on the field. Rico Bussey can score from anywhere on the field. You know, maybe he's not, you know, maybe they're not the best guys or faster than everybody on their squad or et cetera, right? But, yeah, there's no over-under right now. We're 7 point, currently 7.5 point underdogs, opened at 7. But, yeah, I mean, you need that, right? You need, you know, everything schemed up. You need a guy to make a play. You need a guy to shed a tackle that shouldn't be shed, to make a catch that shouldn't be caught, right? To just break everything. Well, like, wow, he should have been tackled here, but he's just too fast for the safety. And look at him running for 6th. You need that. We had that with Jeff Wilson against Iowa, right? That offense wasn't doing anything, but look at Jeff Wilson, you know, running free and for 50 yards there. We need somebody to do that. DeAndre Torrey could do that. He has game-changing speed. We have enough guys that can do that. So, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. And I was going to say, you know, a guy like Jalen Guyton mm-hmm. can do that. Darden can break one. Bussey, you need him to be physical and catch the ball, not drop any passes. Yeah. And that's another thing is everybody's got to be focused. If you think you can win it, then everybody's got to be focused. If any facet of the game doesn't work out, then we're not winning this game.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Guyton was targeted like 12 to 15 times, and he only caught like 5 or 6 passes, right? He had like 5 catches, 111 yards, but he was targeted like 12. He dropped some bad ones there. And some of that was the rain, some of that, I don't know, concentration. But yes, I agree. Those things, you're not going to get second, third, fourth, fifth chances against Arkansas. You know, the windows are going to be smaller. The number of opportunities you get are going to be fewer because I don't imagine that we're going to be able to run 96 plays or 81 plays like we did against SMU because Arkansas is going to want to run some plays, and I think they're going to be successful. They're going to drive down the field, you know, score some points. We got to be better.
So how are you feeling about this game?
I got the beginnings of some nerves in my gut, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like I said, like you can hype it up. This is an opportunity. It's a moment. It is, we can blow it off. Like, yeah, you know, you don't win. It's not a big deal, right? But you could just feel it. Like, this is it. It's just right here in front of you. You just got to take it. You just got to make sure that you're practicing right, that your coaches are coaching it up right, and that everybody's on the right mindset. And, you know, it's going to be an opportunity. The crowd's going to be into it. Chad Morris is going to be coaching his guys up, saying, look how badly we played against Colorado State. Everybody on the team is going to be playing better because they're at home. That Colorado State loss was on the road, right? That changes everything. And also it was in Colorado Springs, right? Is that where they play? Whatever. Foursome, I forget their name. I'm wrong about this city, but...
Boulder? Is it Boulder?
No, that's the other one. It's Colorado.
But it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, it's all just big. It's just all of that over there, all the flat states. They're square states, I mean. Back to what I was saying. They're going to be playing better. There's an elevation thing. You know, everything is different about going on the road, especially in like one of Colorado. So it's going to be different. It's going to be harder. You know, North Texas was bigger, faster, stronger against Incarnate Word. And getting hit in the mouth is going to be surprising. When a guy, you know, can body you up and, you know, shove you around, that's going to be, you know, surprising. Even though you've played guys like that before, you know, it's always a little bit of a shock when a guy's just as tall, just as strong, just as fast as you, and maybe even more so, right? So yeah, you got to be ready for that. Yeah, and that's my biggest concern going from FCS to playing an SEC squad. But I think they're up for it. The opportunity's there. Mason Fine just has to be good. And I'm excited because I know they can be. Like, it's not just a matter of fact. Like, one day Mason Fine can be. Or in some future scenario, they could be. They could be like that this weekend. Like, this Saturday at game time, they could be on and slice them up for 402 yards, and I wouldn't be surprised at all. I'd just be excited.
Well, I'll say this about that. two things. You know, and I get what you were saying about you know, these trenches not facing a big team like SEC, but or an SEC school. But the SMU defensive line, credit to them, they're pretty decent, and they were pressuring the offensive line most of that night, but they handled it fine in the pass game, and so Mason Fine had enough time to make plays. So I think we're good there. So the opportunity will be there for Mason Fine to make plays. On the other hand, you know, it is against an SEC school. It's away, like you were saying. Their fans will bring energy to the stadium, and so, you know, I'll be there. I'll be there in the nosebleed seats somewhere.
I think that's us playing down there. Oh. Wait, no, I'm looking at the wrong part of field.
So the run game, I think, will be the deciding factor. If we figure it out by then I think we have a shot. But, you know, back to my original question of how do you feel about it? I don't think we beat the spread.
If Colorado State didn't win, I would feel more confident about it. I think that's bothering me, that Colorado State won, that everybody on that team is going to want to be better this week.
Yeah, and that they took our opportunity. Yeah. I feel the same way.
Yeah. But, I mean, like I said, I think this team is really good. The defense playing so well has excited me. And, I mean, again, I don't expect them to shut them out. I don't expect them to play that level. But they're playing really well. And that, like I said, is exciting. They're not giving up the, you know, the stupid plays where they're getting hit on double moves, even though they did get hit on a double move by Incarnate Word.
Keemon Hall.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was a they did a whole fake screen there. That was just good stuff. That was a good play. But they didn't get beat on that. They did get outran on a couple of those runs there. There have been enough things to keep them hungry. They shouldn't be feeling super good about themselves because they get a point to those things on film. Like, hey, Raekwon Dickens just busted it up the middle for 62 yards here on you. So, you know, you got to work hard. Hey, you know, Prochet, you know, beat you deep. You gotta pay attention, right? So those are good things. But I also like that they're making plays on the ball. We got 3 interceptions in 2 weeks. The linebackers are going crazy. Igea's balling out. Brandon Garner's balling. Yeah. That's what we want to see. Right now they're kind of playing like all conference kind of players because I think they both have, like, Igea has like 3 sacks, I think, off the top of my head. Garner has like 2 in 2 games. But they're flying all over the field, and that's what you want to see. Now the question becomes, can they fly over the field and make those plays against Arkansas? And how do they respond after getting, you know, like failing, basically, right? When Arkansas gets the ball, drives 75 yards in 12 plays, and scores a touchdown, how do you feel then, next series when you come out? Are you going to play the same way? That's a question we haven't seen answered just yet, you know? The first time that anybody scored a touchdown, North Texas already had a lead, right? We haven't played from behind. The defense has not had to preserve a lead just yet. And that's not me doubting them. That's just me saying, hey, what do we play like in those scenarios? We don't know yet. I'm confident. I think some good things will happen. But I'm also prepared to get hit in the mouth, you know? I could see it. I could see some interceptions and, like, wow, that was frustrating. I can't believe they played that poorly.
It's an experienced team, but it's still a young team. You know, a lot of these guys are it's only their second season of experience. So, yeah. You know, we've got that excuse in our back pocket, I guess.
Yeah, and as much as Chad Morris has done against North Texas, he's always had a year and a recruiting class over North Texas every time. This is the first year where I think it's a little bit more even. Like, he might have more stars on the talent, on the roster level. Like I said, he's probably better 185, but they're not fully in his system yet, number one. Number two, he hasn't fully got everybody to buy in, you know, and believe in his way yet. I'm sure there's some dudes that are like, I don't know about this. So they're not all pulling in the same direction. And North Texas, you know, by contrast, has everybody talking like the coach every week, right? You talk from Ejia to Garner to you know, Mason Fine to the receivers. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, just the standard now. You know, everybody has to play good, everything. It's like Seth Rochelle said, here's the script, right? Here's what we're going to say. And that's great. That means everybody's pulling in the same direction. So they're playing like it. They're talking like it. They're believing like it. They're thinking like it. So they're going to believe. They're not going to get shook by anything, right? Somebody throws an interception, they're going to be like, maybe we should, you know, do power eye out here. I don't know. Or, but the last coach used to, nobody's going to be saying that. They're going to be like, it's okay. Let's come back. Let's do our thing. So that makes up some ground there. And that's why I'm so confident. But, I mean, when it comes down to it, you can execute the defense perfectly. But if the guy's bigger, stronger, faster than you, it doesn't really matter, you know? If I'm there and I'm getting ready to do a form tackle against Bo Jackson, you know, he's going to win that one. It doesn't matter if my eyes are right, my technique's right, or if I'm driving through him. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Sometimes you're just not good enough. And it could be the case in certain spots over just enough time. It's like Florida State. Sanford was whooping their A. And Florida State just had too much talent towards the end. They won. And Samford's like, what could have been? They ended up losing by 10. And they were up by, what, 6 on the final drive. So does all that make sense? You agree with me there?
Yeah. I see there. But you know, what I keep hearing is that you know, even though I have a confidence with the team, everything has to go right with us. And things have to falter with Arkansas for us to come out with a win.
I think it's more like, I agree with, I don't think everything has to go right. This is not a game where everything needs to go right. I think 2 years ago, like 2016, we needed everything to go right for, like, we needed to get, like, we needed to play, like, 2 standard deviations positively for things to go right. Here, we can make mistakes. I think we can overcome an interception. I think we can overcome a busted coverage simply because the offense is so good. I mean, in 2 games, they scored on, like, all but, what, 2 or 3 possessions? All right? They know how to score. They know how to execute. They've been doing it, and they're just only building up repetitions. And, like, good quality drives the whole time, like completion, completion, completion. 30 guys caught passes last week. And then, what was it before that, 20 guys or something like that? Everybody's getting reps. Everybody's getting, like, you know, live game reps. 91 plays last week. So I think that's good, you know, good practice reps, positive plays, everybody feeling good. So I think they can overcome some other stuff. They just got to clean up. It'd be great if the run game could be successful, right, and help out. It'd be great if Mason Fine doesn't have to throw 50 times and get hit 50 times in the backfield, you know, on everyone. Yeah. That would be ideal. Just,
he needs to quit scrambling before there's pressure. That's another issue of mine.
It's hard for him. It's hard for him to step up in the pocket because he's not 6'4", right? Because he's like, let me step back and get more space. I can see. He's not going to grow, and I don't think they let him put lifts in his shoes. So I don't know if that's going to work out.
Well, and here's a comment on the scheme, and not on Mason Fine. But if you're watching closely, there's always at least one guy open on any given play, and that's just the nature of the air raid. There's a, you know, if you've got the white cross, there's usually a guy just sitting behind the linebackers. Mm-hmm. If you're running the you know, smash, you got a corner route that's open. It's just a matter of if, you know, if that guy happens to be open when Fine is looking over there, or if he's not already scrambling, or if he's not already passing to somebody else that's open.
Yeah, it would be great if he was a little bit more accurate. He's been a little off last couple of weeks. There's been a couple of times where he's made a couple of the receivers have to do a little bit more of an amazing catch than they should have. He, like, was it SMU?
Oh, we're talking about, like, what, 30, 40 yards down the field?
I'm just saying, like, but that's the difference between, you know, people are talking about Heisman over here. That's the difference between Heisman and, hey, really good season, kid, right? That's the difference between NFL guys saying maybe that height doesn't matter and, well, it was a good run. Maybe you can be a coach somewhere, right? But I mean, that's it. That's it. If there's nothing left to criticize, we can't be like, well, maybe he can get 400 yards. He's throwing 400, 500 yards, And if he played at this level for the rest of his career, he would set a bunch of records and everything would be great. But going to the next level, right, competing against next level athletes and beating next level teams means, you know, getting perfect every time, right? It's the difference between minor league pitcher and major league pitcher, right? It's a couple inches, right? And that's how it works. I don't make the rules, man. You know, that's how it goes. But Mason Fine is really good, and I like him a lot, and I believe in him. I think we're gonna give Arkansas some hell on Saturday. How are you? You said you're gonna go to the game. I wish I could go to the game. God.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go with I'll bring my family, and then the in-laws are coming too. Their in-laws are originally from Arkansas.
Okay.
They're just you know, their family's about an hour away from there. So we'll see some folks when we're out there too.
It should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. This is a very beatable SEC team, and I'm going to go ahead and say the same thing that I've been saying about other teams. When Middle Tennessee was playing Vandy, that's a game you want them to play well in and maybe even win. Was when Western Kentucky was doing the same against some of these lower level SEC teams, basically not Alabama, not, you know, some of these guys with the stacked 5-star rosters. You should be able to compete against them if you're really that good, right? North Texas really got to carry the flag for Conference USA because everybody else sucks.
It was one week.
Yeah, I mean, it was
we
1 week.
We lost to some FCS schools like Western Kentucky or some Sun Belt schools.
We went 0-3 against the Sun Belt. And, I mean, I'd like to sit down and talk with everybody that was like, Troy, oh, my God, Troy's awful. I'm sitting across from you because you're like, we deserve a better reward than Troy. Oh, my God. Troy wipes the field with us. They won that conference. That conference, they went 3-0 against us, you know, this week. So, you know.
Hey, I didn't talk smack about Troy. I was talking smack about the bowl.
The thing is that you can't control anything like that. And that, again, this is me saying you can't look for more. You got to take what's available in front of you. And I feel like this we need to win a conference championship this season, you know, because – this is a down year in Conference USA. Florida Atlantic looks scary. It looks shaky. Marshall doesn't look that good, even though everybody's like, oh, they're the best team. All the herd fans over there. Nobody looks good except us. So in a down year with our best team in years, that's the kind of conference, that's the kind of season you need to win. You know, you can't be making mistakes. You can't not prepare correctly because this is an opportunity. You don't know when it's going to happen again. We might never get another shot. It might be like Rice. Rice hasn't been good since 2013, since they won the thing. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, when you're in a conference like Conference USA, where teams are middling to below average, you have to, you know, take that opportunity. You have to build your team to be able to beat those kinds of teams in order to have success elsewhere. And this is not a comment about, oh, North Texas is so good, so much better than everybody. It's just Conference USA. The nature of the conference is it's mm-hmm. not a very good one. And you have to be able to beat those guys.
Yeah, you have to take full advantage of that opportunity. And, I mean, what does that mean? It's like, well, it means you have to prepare correctly, not beat yourself, because that's really the only way you lose. And I know a lot of people are like, well, I don't want us to be like UTSA and hate any comparison. They're like, they're not like us and whatever. Well, let's take a lesson from them. Last season, NFL quarterback, right? An NFL defensive end, lots of talent, blah, 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 blah. We're so good, right? Should go 11-0. It's not a pipe dream. They shat the bed, basically, right? That's what they did. We need to not do that because we're in the same position. We beat up two terrible teams, right? And we beat this, even if we beat this Arkansas team, you know, I have to whisper that. If we beat this team, it's not a good SEC team, right? And it doesn't matter because we got to win conference games. And I mean, does all that make sense? Do you agree with me at least?
Yeah. At the end of the day, if we're 3-0 or 2-1, I'm going to be feeling good because we're going to be above 500.
Yes. I mean, but yeah, I'm not going to be excited about being bowl eligible this year. I'm not going to be excited about getting 6 wins. And, you know, remember hit 6 in 2013, right?
Yeah, so sad.
I don't care anymore. We have raised expectations. And that's because we've been hitting these things, right? Like, we know it's not, you know, we're like, wow, it's the first time we bowled in 10 years. That was fun. That was amazing. And that was great, right? Hey, we bowled when we shouldn't have in 2016, right? Five win bowling team. That was great. Hey, remember how terrible we were? Won one game, barely, with a quarterback who couldn't throw. And, you know, last year, we're like, hey, this is pretty good. We're beating up some other teams. Okay. Got beat by a really good team, but hey, we're out here at the New Orleans Bowl. Even though you were like, New Orleans Bowl, I'm not going. I want to leave. I'm going to go watch golf. This is the evolution, right? Before we're looking ahead and saying, well, we probably should just call up the AEC and say, hey, we're your new member, guys. Before we do any of that, we should enjoy the present, enjoy a really good quarterback, and make sure that we're doing everything we can to show up every week to these games, to watch these games, to support these games, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, 18,000 is not going to cut it. But, I mean, it's a lot better than a lot of the some AEC schools.
Yeah,
definitely. Schools.
Hey, dude, we're going to a place where 29,519, right? Program record in North Texas. That's a bad day. They're going to be, if 29,000 people showed up, they'd be like, what's wrong with Hog football? What's going on? You know, people stop caring about the Arkansas football team. What's going on? What happened here?
Yeah, and that's the difference of expectations. You know, North Texas has been so bad in recent history that looking good is, you know, normal to other conferences, other teams. And you know, going back to what you were saying, you know, a team like us, whether it's North Texas or Charlotte or whatever, if they're just average, they can be have six wins or better in a league like ours. And for, you know, Latrell to build up this team the way they have, taking this opportunity to, I don't know, not run the table, but just to be good, finally, for the first time in a long time. This is what it feels like to be better than average.
Yeah. So there's two parts about that, right? Like, if you build a good program, your program should beat bad teams. And if your conference is filled with bad teams, you should beat that team. That's how you should think about it. And I know that sounds like there is no difference there, but there is. If you build a good program and your conference is filled with good teams, you may not beat them all the time, but you have a good program, right? It's harder to tell that you have a good program, but, you know, you're probably just competing with good teams. So you should win, like, what, 50-50, maybe win the ones at home. You know, you have to find subtle ways to determine that. But if our league's terrible, and it is right now, everybody's pretty terrible, and we have a good program, a good team, we should win those teams. You know, that's how you know. Is your team good? Are they beating the really bad teams, the teams that are getting blown out every week? When it comes your turn to play them, are you blowing them out? You should be. You should not be letting them hang around. Alabama destroys every team. They're a great program, right? Like a historically great program. They leave no chance for these teams. They go out there to destroy them, and you're just like, well, we had no shot, right? They play okay teams, okay programs. Michigan's smacked, right? Florida State last year smacked. You know, you're not even getting a sniff of a chance. That's what historically great programs do to good programs. We're a good program. We need to beat terrible teams. We need to destroy those teams. And that's how we measure. Let's judge Latrell. Let's judge Ren Baker. Let's judge the strength and conditioning coach. And let's judge our major donors by that standard there, right? You know? So there we go.
It feels good.
Yeah. Ain't it fun to win? I always remember, was it the towel rack guy? I said exactly what I just said right now, but about those teams. I was like, hey, you know, if our league's going to get better, Western Kentucky has to beat these SEC teams, right? Middle Tennessee needs to beat Vandy, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, everybody else needs to step up because, you know, we're tired of carrying this team. Fast forward a year and a half later, womp, womp, lose to Maine. They lost 31 straight to Maine. I mean, things can change quickly, man. You know, we were out there losing to Portland State 2 years ago, 66-7, firing the coach at the halftime. But now we're like, geez, Conference USA is terrible, making us look bad.
The turntables.
Yeah, that's why you got to enjoy the wave, right? When you're on the, what is it? What's the peak called? The top of a wave, It's called the...
The Peak?
Isn't there another word? Because there's like Nadir, and then there's...
The Zenith?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I lose like 50% of my vocabulary around 10 p.m. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Mean Green Nation podcast. You can email us. Leave a review on iTunes. I stopped telling people that, and I forgot. I should encourage everybody to do that. Leave a review. Rate us. Tell us how great we are. So leave comments. You know, tweet at us. If somebody's like, hey, Adam, you mumble too much. You're too close to the mic. You know, that's me. I like to do that. But like the other guy, I'm not sure if he's talking, but maybe he shouldn't. No,
it's deal with it.
Yeah, that was me saying that. It's like, why did I invite Aldo? Do I even want him?
Yeah. Created a burner account just so you could leave that review.
Yeah, did I look great in it? I got the blonde hair in it. And email us if you want to leave some longer. Like, hey, you know, I got some thoughts on it. Everything you said was dumb. I lived in Arkansas, and I do not say pig suey all the time. Just 90% of the time. So, I mean, yeah, you correct me on the number of times you say pig suey. That's fine. Anything else you want to add to this?
I just want to go and score more than 30 points, throw for more than 300 yards, and run for more than 100 yards.
What if we win like 50 to, you know, to 20? We just like stomp them. Like, I don't know. I think I'm still going to be on leave, but I might just go to work just so I can run around at work like that. So just have more people.
I'd have to be escorted out of the stadium because I have to sit on the hog side.
Just brag it up, man. You know. Just walk around with your chest fully puffed out, you know. that'd be great. That'd be awesome. They're not gonna be mad at you. They're gonna be mad at the coach and the AD and, you know, everybody else there. So yeah. You're gonna be way low on the list. You can get out of town probably.
Chad Morris isn't a great head coach, y'all.
Just whisper like, oh, he didn't do too good at SMU. Did he even win a bowl game there? I don't think he did.
In 3 years.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for listening, and we are done.